Bless the Lord, oh my soul. This guy, I love this guy. I can't get enough of him, you know, because as I read chapter after chapter, I'm sensing it. I see it in the things of today, in my life, in the church's life. And I tell you, when I read some of these scriptures and these verses, I see it also in your life as I think about this body of Christ and what people are going through. And the situations in their lives that seemingly have been destroyed, seemingly had been tore down, whatever the case might be. And we have one of two things to decide on that. Do we allow it to be tore down and in rubble and shambles? Or do we decide the other, like Nehemiah, and get a call from God to say, go rebuild? And I encourage you to say that call. Take that call, take that challenge to say, I am going to go. And I'm going to rebuild this area of my life. And I'm going to do it because God is going to be there with me. And you'll see that throughout that of Nehemiah. And we started out the whole process of, you know, brother and some people come and tell him that the wall has been destroyed and the people are just decimated. In chapter 1, he prays about it. He goes to his king that he was serving as a cupbearer. And he asked to have some papers drawn up that he could have free passage through the governorships of other territories as he's going to that of Jerusalem, and that they would give him clear passage. We found out that he also asked the king to give me an order of paper that for the man that is maintaining the king's forest, that I can have all the lumber, all the timber I need to build the walls, to build the gates. And oh, by the way, remember what else he built? His house. Think on that a few times, and I tell you what, you ought to get excited. Oh, give me this to do this, give me this to do that, and oh, by the way, also let him know that I want lumber or trees to build my house. Taking care of himself through that of God, God's taking care of him through that of that king and the king's forest. I mean, can you not get excited when you begin to read these things? I know it's just me. It's just me. You got to be where I'm at, and sometimes it's you don't want to be in my head. I can tell you that right now. Don't get in my head. Run! Like that movie in Forrest. Run, Forrest! Run! It's like, don't come anywhere near me. Hallelujah. And so we go on and we find out he goes and he gets us all going. And then in verse 3, or I should say in chapter 3. Now I'm going to bring this around because there's a part of chapter 4 that just got me going. And that's talking about clapping and a trumpet. Clapping and a trumpet. It's towards the end of the story. This morning, as I was thinking about it, I thought, maybe I ought to go to the end of the story and go back. Because I want to really get to the clapping and the trumpet. Because I think some of us here today, all of us here today, you need to be sounding your trumpet. Amen? Amen. And you're going to find out that the sounding of the trumpet was to draw all the other people on the wall to that area where the fight was taking place. Because they were spread out, continuing to do their job, continuing to build the wall, even after opposition and things that were said against them, and mockery, and indignation, and all of these things that Sanballat and Tobiah and all the Arabs and Ammonites and things, they were mocking these people for what they were doing. Do you ever feel like you've been mocked? Especially when you're doing the things for the Lord? Yeah, yeah. So hopefully we can get there. We will get there. Even if I have to cut through the chase and go, oh, forget the rest. Just find out on yourself. Let's go to the clap. Amen. Let's go to the sound, the trumpet. That's where we want to go. But eventually what we find here quickly in chapter 3 reveals the display of unity. We're not going to really dig into chapter 3. You can read it. It's talking about over 40 groups of people, or groups, 40 groups of people working simultaneously rebuilding the wall. It goes to show you how God working through Nehemiah, Nehemiah's ability to get people to come on board with what God wanted, they had unity and togetherness, and they said, you remember in chapter 2, I think it said like, well, let's go do it. Nehemiah explained what he wanted to do, and they said, well, let's go do it. Amen. Sometimes when God comes to you and says, Tim, I want you to rebuild a wall, whatever that wall is, does Tim go, I don't know, maybe, Can I get back with it on? I don't know. Can I be like that of the children of, or the Jewish people to that of Nehemiah and say, well, let's go do it, Lord. You want to do it? And you want me to do it? Let's go. Are you there like that with God? And so we find unity rebuilding this wall. The success of rebuilding shows us that Nehemiah's ability to lead and to organize to rebuild this wall. This is in chapter 3. The success of Nehemiah foreshadows. Now, we can look at this quickly. I'm going to jump to Philippians. So what we find in chapter 3, it foreshadows really the unity of purpose and work that characterizes our churches of today. See, as we read these things of the Word of God, even in the Old Testament, it's good to read them in the Old Testament. It's good to see what's taking and the parameters around all of that's taking place. But am I the only one, or do you see things of today, similarities to those things taking place in the Old Testament? The people have changed. The time has changed. Maybe I'm not rebuilding, like I said, the wall or a room or a house or whatever the case might be. But I see the adversities that these people of God went through there. And believe it or not, when I look out over here and I see your smiling, happy faces, I see adversity that you guys are going through. When I look in the mirror, I guess what I see? Adversities that I am going through. Anybody here not going through an adversity right now? They come at us at all times and all days and every day. And sometimes we go through a week or a month and everything's kind of cool and good. And then all of a sudden something happens, whatever the case might be. But we just have. And it depends on what you want to call an adversity. It depends on what you really want to get yourselves into. But anyway, in Philippians, we find this. And this is kind of like foreshadowing. So if I looked at Philippians real quick, what does it say in Philippians 1, 27 to 28, I believe? Chapter 1, verse 27, it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and I see you or I am absent, this is Paul sharing, that I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit. Whether I'm there with you folks throughout the week, whether you're there with me throughout the week, the one thing I want to hope and pray that for you, that you're doing what? And Tim, that you're doing this, and that you're standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, that we as a church talked about. Remember how it says that this is like a foretaste or a foreshadow of the unity and the purpose of the working of the church, okay? That we are working and together with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way, look at this, terrified. Anybody here terrified? Terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. It's just basically, don't be terrified by your adversaries. Nehemiah, when you go through this and chapter by chapter and seeing the things that he came up against and things that were put up against him, and a lot of it was not really physical. A lot of it was just lip service. Let's look at this. In Nehemiah 4, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? And now, verse 3, Tobiah, and the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, hey, whatever they're going to build, even if a fox goes on it, it's going to break down. Whatever they build ain't going to last anyway. Don't even worry about it. They're just feeble, crazy, stupid people. What do they know? You can go through, and here's another thing. Watch in these areas of Nehemiah when adversaries or adversity came upon him, or when God asked him to do something, or he's got to go approach somebody. What does Nehemiah do? He goes to prayer. When things come upon you, folks, you better do nothing but, number one, go to prayer. I don't care if that's sitting in your chair, sitting in, on your knees, under a tree, whatever, driving down the highway, you better go to prayer. Keep your eyes open if you're driving, but go to prayer. Because right after that, we find here, verse 4, chapter 4, Nehemiah says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. despised and rejected. I think somebody said that in the New Testament. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on what? Their own heads. Give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Lord God, whatever the enemy out there is trying to put upon me, turn it around, Lord, and let it fall upon them. Amen? When the devil is putting things upon you, when the adversary, that of the devil, okay, putting things, attacking you, go to prayer. God, whatever they're doing to me, Lord, I ask right now that you put it back upon their heads. Now, we find throughout, and we're not going to go there, but remember when the battles were raging and all, and even the enemy that was attacking, God ended up turning themselves on themselves in the battle to where the enemy defeated itself. They had like infighting amongst themselves and infighting amongst different groups of the fighters out there. And so we know God can do marvelous and miraculous and miracles in our lives, because I see it throughout the pages of the Bible. Don't you? So it doesn't hurt for us to pray, oh Lord, turn the devil's reproach on his own head. Whatever they're sending to me, send it 10 times back to them worse. Amen. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sins be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. And so, verse 6, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined up halfway its height, and for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, verse 7, when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, what happened? Were they joyful? No. You're going to find out when things are happening, when God is rebuilding, when you're rebuilding something in your life, the enemy is going to be pretty upset. He's going to be pretty ticked off. And what it says here, and the gaps were being closed, that they became very angry, and all of them, these bad people, okay, they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create what? Confusion. Do you not think that the devil of today, the god of this world that is amongst this sphere that we live in, does he not want to create what? Confusion? Look at our land. Look at our nation the last year or two. Look at it just now. This nation is so confused. We have got so much confusion amongst the groups of people that are in here. I mean, I don't even the Antifa people, they're confused within themselves. You know, I pray, Lord, let them fight amongst themselves and battle themselves and destroy themselves. Do you not think that God could do that? I believe he can do that. Any of these radical, wackiness, crazy people that are trying to destroy or take or tear down, I may not have a wall that I'm building, but I've got a nation that I'm protecting through prayers and intercession for my country. How about you? And when the enemy hears that, oh, the churches are rising up, do you not think the enemy is going to turn even more on the churches to try to shut them back down? Yes. For the devil knows where the power comes. The devil knows where the power comes for this nation. It's not in our presidency. It's not in our Congress, our Senate, our representatives. It's not in our governorship of our states, the mayors of our cities, the councilmen. The power in this nation comes forth and is available to be called upon by who in this nation? Us! Come on! You guys better get turned on to these things. You better find out that you're not fighting the battle by yourself, and if you're down and out, you've allowed the devil to take the most joy and the joy and the life and the gusto that God has in you, and he's taken it and destroyed it. And we're just sitting out here like a bump on the log, thinking like, well, some other church will pray. Well, this group over here will pray. I don't need to be too concerned about it. If we don't get concerned about it now, you ain't going to get concerned about it anyway. If you don't see what's happening within our nation, within our society, I tell you what, if you've not got yourself stirred up for praying for this nation here now, this day, this hour, I would venture to say nothing happens from here on out is going to stir you up to even begin to pray. The enemy has you shut down already. The enemy is not even concerned about you. I want to be on the enemy's radar. I want the enemy to know there's a guy, there's a church, there's a group that's praying for this nation, that a nation that I want to destroy, the nation that I want to turn and to cave in upon itself. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, oh, hear, O God, for we are being despised. Turn our enemies' reproach upon their own heads. I pray that many times let the lies and the deceptions of this nation, of this country, be discovered, and let it be exposing the lies and the deceptions of these groups of people. Good, bad, or whoever. Bad, because good people aren't going to. Good people are good people. Scratch that. But the lies and the deceptions of the people that are lying and deceiving, expose them, Lord. Change their ways, Lord. Move upon them mightily, Lord. And if they don't, Lord, I turn them over to you. Now, if you want some of my thoughts, Lord, I would say wipe them out. You know, I just cut to the chase. Okay, Lord, you might deal with them because love, full of love, full of grace, full of mercy. But Lord, I'm seeing this and I don't like it. By golly, I just don't like it. So I turn it over to you, God, however you want to do it. But if you want Tim's thoughts, I would just say, wipe them out. But if you don't do that, Lord, I trust that you're in control and you're taking care of it. But they conspire together to attack Jerusalem and create confusion. It may not even be the confusion in this life of our nation. How many here have confusion in your own family? Confusion in your relationships? Confusion so close within you. The enemy is doing that. Don't you believe that? The enemy is causing confusion, deceptions into your family life. And we got to stand up and we got to say, oh God, hear my prayer. Turn their reproach upon themselves. I'm tired of it, Lord. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayers to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. They had their prayers, Nehemiah, they prayed, take care of this, God. But wisdoms, understanding, they had guards set out there. We're going to continue to build, guys. We're not going to stop. Now, you'll find that even if they get through this, that they get a little bit wore down themselves. They go, oh, it's just getting to be so much, you know. But you got to pump them back up. Come on. Oh, man, Pastor, we've been praying for the last 3 years for this nation, and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. We might have to pray for another 5 years. I'm going to tell you, whatever it takes, we're going to do it if you're a child of God. Well, I don't have the strength to do it. I know you don't have the strength to do it, but it's when I'm weak that he is strong. I don't care if I've got to just be sitting, and all I can do is sit in my chair. And I hope I got the strength to at least raise my arms. Oh, God, change this nation. Oh, God, put men and women of integrity and moral value in the leadership of this country, Lord, that you so blessed. Father, please. That doesn't take a whole lot of energy, folks. But we've got to have it in our heart to continue to stand and not to sit there and cave in. If Nehemiah would have caved in because these people were mocking and indignation and all this, the wall would have got only up to half of its height, and they'd say, well, it's getting to be too much to struggle. Let's just forget it. It was probably a lame idea anyway. Anybody ever hear God having a lame idea? I don't think so. 10. Then Judah said, well, the strength of the laborers is failing. There is so much rubbish. We're not able to build the wall. And our adversaries, they're saying this. They will never. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come upon them in their midst. And we're going to kill them and cause the work to cease. They're not even. We're hearing this. The people are saying, we're hearing this, that our adversaries are out there. They're watching us. And just when we don't know it, they're going to snap and come in and attack us and kill us and destroy us. What are we going to do? Let's just stop working. Let's go back to the way we were, despised and, you know, mocked anyway. You know, they were held down from what they could have anyway. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them, they told us 10 times, from wherever place you turn, they will be upon us. There's a lot of puffing and huffing there through that adversary. Have you ever noticed your adversary really likes to, you know, bristle up a little bit and really tell you how big he is and how he's going to conquer you, you know? A lot of it is just like, you know, look at the animal world, okay? Look at some of these creatures out there that are the smallest ones, but all of a sudden when they come against a fight, the Lord has put within them like things that flare out of their neck and stuff that makes them look like 10 times bigger. you know, fins come out of their head and their necks and stuff. And to the predator, it looks like, oh, bigger than I thought. More than I was going to, I bit off more than I can chew. And that's a defense mechanism. But as we in our own times, maybe you better flux and flex your spiritual size. But there's going to be a time in your battle, you might have to flare yourself up in the spiritual realm to say, and of course we don't have to do that because I believe, I say, Lord, place angels around me. Place giants around me, Lord, to protect me and to show the enemy that I am not alone. Do you ever pray, Lord, protect me by placing angels around me? Oh, hallelujah, and let them be big angels. Let them be big angels, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring them on, Lord. Tim, I want you to go from here to here, but there's adversaries right in this, between here and that wall. Lord, I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. Go. Call upon help. I get the angels following me, and I just cut right through them like hot knife through butter, man. And your adversaries start falling off. Your adversaries start running away because they see something that maybe I don't even see. Because, remember, our battle is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual realm that we're dealing with all this stuff. You've got to keep that perspective. Sometimes you look at it thinking like, well, this guy's a kook. No. There's too many times where people have shared testimonies of when they've been in a situation and they get the people and they find out through that after they pick up these bad people, they go, well, we were going to attack that person, but when we looked behind them, there was like 20 or 5 or 6 big guys behind that lady in the alley. We saw those guys and we took off. It was in the spiritual realm, but God can do miraculous things. He opened the eyes of those in the natural to see something that was spiritual, but yet he showed them. I tell you what, God has a lot of things at his disposal. Amen? I don't have to understand it. I don't have to try to figure this out. Only one I've got to figure out is God is my answer. I don't really need to go deeper than that. God has my answer. Well, how do you know that, Tim? Because as I've read through many scriptures and many stories of his word, I have seen him perform miracles time after time. A country, a people, a group that seemed to be so despised, talked about, ridiculed. They were scared the adversaries were going to come, but they never did. Because God. So, I'm going to quickly read through this and see if I've touched upon most of this. I haven't read through all of it yet because maybe I'll do that after this. Quickly, chapter 4, the enemies of the Jews are opposing the rebuilding of the wall. Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, which was north of Judea, where Jerusalem was located. His idea down the road was thinking like, eventually I'm going to take over and we can come in and take over more ground. That's what battles and wars are all about, right? It's, I want you to think and believe like I do. I want you to believe in the God that I believe. And oh, by the way, I want your land. Verse 1 through 3, they were enraged at Nehemiah and those helping him. They mocked him. They called them feeble. So we find that, a side note, that these people, Sanballat and Tobiah, used ridicule to try to dissuade the Jews from building the wall. Nehemiah went to prayer and the work continued. We can learn from this as well. When you are mocked, criticized by or for your faith or for doing the things that God wants you to do, don't become discouraged. Tell God and remember his promises to be with you. He will give you strength and encouragement to proceed. In verse 4, here again, Nehemiah is praying. Verse 7 through 12, you know, the bad people, the Ammonites, Tobias, Sanballat, and Arabs, they're angry now for what's going on. Verses 13 to 14, Nehemiah has plans to protect the workers. He's got to have a plan. Amen. You got to have a plan, right? You got to have a plan if you're going to have something succeed. And sometimes we fail because we don't plan. And so we always have to have a plan before you go into anything. Count the cost, as it would say in the Bible, I think, before a person builds their house. Count the cost, what it's going to be. And we have a plan. And God will give you his plan for that particular situation in your life and for that problem or whatever it is going on. I would say, listen to it. If you don't understand it, ask him to, Lord, oh Lord, break it down a little bit easier for me to understand, whatever it might be. Please, Lord. So in verses 13 to 14, Nehemiah has a plan to protect the workers. When we get fatigued or we get discouraged doing a task or something for God, remember to quickly begin to refocus that back on God. When you start getting weary, when you start getting like, oh, this is happening and this is more than I bit off, I think, more than I can chew, stop. Stop. Refocus. Get back into that of God and say, okay, Lord, A, am I ahead of what you want done? Am I advancing too fast? Should I need to stop? Do I need to whatever? Or B, am I going too slow? What is it, Lord? You know, I'm feeling this and what you want me to do. But I feel like I've kind of lost the focus. Help me, Father. Let's get refocused. Verses 15, God brought the plot against the Jewish people to nothing. Amen. Look at that. And that's where 15, let's pick up there. So as we find this, in 14, and I looked and I rose and I said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. In verse 15, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So let's look at this real quick. Let's look at that in 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned. Who brought the plot that was against them to nothing? Them or God? God. The battle is mine. Thus saith the Lord, the battle is mine. The battle has already been won in the heavenlies. We just need it to materialize in the natural for us, I guess, huh? Now, look at that, where it talks about that God brought their plot to nothing. Quickly, I'm just going to look at Job 5. Now, Job has gone through, and now there's a few people there. As I looked in my Bible, I think it was this morning, I just kind of caught this glimpse of it. It talks about that chapter 4 in Job, this begins a three-cycle dialogue between Job and his friends. Each one gives a speech, and Job responds. So these are some of his friends responding to Job about what was going through Job and his time. But here's this one on verse 5. Eliphaz, he's talking now. But as we go through all of this, I like where verse 8 starts. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? He gives rain on the earth and sends waters on the fields. Talking about God. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. Verse 12 is where we just want to see it. What does it say there? Verse 12. He frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their plans cannot carry, so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in noontime as it in the night. God. That's talking about what God does in a situation. But he frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. Amen. Amen. Ooh-ee. Hallelujah. I tell you, we think the devil's pretty crafty, right? Oh, his craftiness has nothing compared to that of God. God has such a plan and a purpose and a design and how he can make things. He can develop things out of nothing. I spoke it, and the earth is in existence. Do you not believe that a guy that can do that, and little Tim's going through a problem, that I can't trust God to speak something into that problem? Cause something to change in that problem, whatever the case might be. But you're going to say, why isn't it happening right now? I don't know, but all I know is God's not a God of failure. God is not a God of it just happens now and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's not like God's going to say, well, you know what, Tim? You know, sometimes I twinkle my nose and it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I snap my fingers and sometimes it happens. No. When God speaks, when God moves, when God does, it's accomplished. Amen? It's accomplished. It's not necessarily where he says, well, Tim, I need to tell you why I'm doing all of this, and I need to explain it to you. Because if you get back into that chapter where Job was at, and Job was kind of like these things, I don't want God to say, Tim, where were you when I created all of this? Remember how I said, you know, if people are adversaries, and I'd say, just take them out of here now, Lord, just pew, move them out of here, you know. That's what I would do, but I'm not God. But God just has to sometimes refrain and say, hey, tap me on the back, tap me on the head, tap me on whatever. Tim, you've got to trust me that I'm moving in your problem. It takes faith. It takes trust in the unseen to believe that God is still there working in your situation. And I don't know what the enemy is going to continue to do in my life to kind of keep me off balance, to keep me kind of like, oh, because I can see that the natural, that it doesn't seem to be changing, but I've got to, within my spirit man, say, but it is changing. And I don't know what that change is. I don't know what it's all going to turn out. All I know is God is God. Amen? And God, He totally is in control. Even when you're looking at your life or your life circumstances and think it's all out of control, I'm going to tell you, if you've gone to God, when you're out of control and you're not going to God, yes, your life is out of control. And the devil's playing with it and mixing it up, and sometimes the devil's not even in it. It's just us and our own stupidity, our own desire, our own lust, whatever it is that we do these things. But if I go through that and I don't cry out for help, guess what? I probably won't have any help. Other than if God, by that of grace and mercy, steps in. I don't know. That's what I'm saying, folks. There are so many things to try to figure out God that many times man wastes a lot of time trying to figure out God rather than just trusting God and moving on to the next thing. The enemy wants us to stop where we're at and you try to figure out your God. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't going to be nobody figuring out my God. You ain't going to figure out God, the creator of all of this, unless God drops it into you. And He will do that through that of the Holy Spirit. He will do that through His Word. When you're going through a situation that you don't understand, that there's problems that come up, you're going, but God, I'm serving you and working in this field of harvest for you and your kingdom. I don't understand why there's adversity. There shouldn't be. It's not if I, Lord, it's you. And you're working through all these things. We like that in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those that are called accordingly to God's purpose. You got to really be careful with that because there's things that they're called according to God's purpose and not my purpose. And I trust my God even when things don't turn out the way I think they should have. I have got to trust who? My God. Now, we got to get to the part here because it's winding down too fast. So, in verses 13 to 14, he's got a plan to protect the workers. When we get fatigued or discouraged, that's when we begin to lose focus, and we got to repurpose our focus on that. Verse 15, God brought the plot against the Jewish people to nothing. As we work, and as the work continues now, Nehemiah realizes that they need to protect themselves. We need to have protection around us. Amen? So let's look at this. This is where I want to get to. 16:20. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at the construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and they wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those, verse 17, who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at the construction and with one hand held what? A weapon. Loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, and with the other they held a weapon. It's going to have to be where I think maybe we need to have a test here to can you rub your belly and pat your head, or whatever that thing, trying to coordination type thing. You're going to work, and you're going to hold a sword. You're going to be doing what the Lord wants you to do, but you got a sword ready for when that old enemy comes. You're going to keep working. Going to keep working. Now, it got to the point here. What happened? Oh, hallelujah. 18. And every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside him. And then I said, Nehemiah says, to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. Oh, Lord, what you want me to do is great and extensive? Yes. Okay. And we are separated far from one another on the wall. Verse 20, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. You know, the trumpet. You hear the trumpet, come running. The trumpet is used for a lot of two purposes. Either to call that of the force to come, or it's to glory, it's to send forth the coming of the Lord. You know, the sound of the trumpet. It's a battle cry. It does a lot. Look at the history of the trumpet used in many battles, from that of the Western days of the Calvary to even the British and the different ones and any war and things. I mean, before we had radios, hello, Charlie Company, you know. The trumpeter was always with the leader. He was always with that person, to where he would sound charge, he would sound retreat, he would sound assembly, he would sound whatever it was to call the Calvary back. Here's where I want to go with this, guys. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Sounded. The word, as I look at the definition in the Hebrew and what that means, the sound and sounding of the trumpet. The trumpet is like that of a chauffeur to be played either for, you know, the battle or the return of the Lord or just for joy, things of that nature. But I look at this area of the sound, that sound of the trumpet. In Psalms 47, this is where I really should have started today. But in Psalms 47, we find this. Oh, what? Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you peoples, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Clap. This word, clap, T-A-H-K-A-H-T-A-Q-A is what it spells in the Hebrew. But what it is, it's to clatter, to clang, sound, blow, like that of a trumpet, clap, clap, strike. This verb occurs more than 65 times. Strike may be the trusted one-word definition would be like the sound is when you're pitching a tent and fastening a nail, probably due to the striking of the hammer. Goes on. In other references, it describes blowing a trumpet or sounding an alarm. Blow the trumpet on Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. This indicates energy and enthusiasm. When other references talk about describing blowing a trumpet or sounding the alarm, thus this word indicates energy. This T-A-Q-A is the word. Energy and enthusiasm. Here, all the nations are commanded to clap their hands in Psalms and shout triumphantly to God. Formalistically, religion seeks to discourage. This is what got me. Aren't there some churches out there that say, oh, we don't clap in our church? Right? Be reverent, be quiet, be still. Don't clap. Do they not know what they have just done and the enemy has succeeded? They've taken out the sound of a trumpet. I began to believe as I clap, it's like a trumpet. We may not all be able to go. We may not all carry a shofar with us like Julie does. But I can tell you, when we come together as a body and we say, clap your hands, all you, clap. I envisioned that when I read that a few weeks, well, it's been many weeks back now because I read it 3 weeks or 4 weeks back. When I read that sitting back out here on the bench in the back of the church, it just hit my spirit. My Lord, we got to clap. When we clap, it's like we're sounding the trumpet. Hallelujah. We're bringing enthusiasm. We're rejoicing. Hallelujah. That's what Nehemiah was saying. Sound the trumpet when we need help. When we want you to come, we're going to sound. We're going to clap. We're going to do whatever to bring the attention of God to where we're at, or we're going to rejoicing. We're going to either call him here. Lord, come to this battle, Lord. Our, the Lord is there, and I'm going to clap, rejoicing and glorifying him. One way or the other, I'm going to be in the presence of that of God. And I want him to know I love him. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands. All you people, shout to the God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is, this is reading out of Psalms 47, he is great king over all the earth. If he's the great king over all the earth, would he not be the great king over all of your life? If you've allowed him into that part of your life, amen? He will subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The prince of the people, the princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Oh, Father. Huh. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Whenever you hear the trumpet of the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Amen. Amen. So we labored in the work, verse 21, back in Nehemiah 4:21. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. And at the same time I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and work party by day. The adversaries out there didn't want them to continue building the wall. They began to see some things beginning to happen. All of a sudden, they're looking like, hey, wait a minute. This guy is actually doing what he said he's going to do. But 52 days, they built this wall. Well, right now, they're halfway done. Then they get done. But the wall is halfway. And then the adversaries around there are going, wait a minute, this is getting a little too close for comfort. He's succeeding with the plan of what God had for him to do. So I guess sometimes when we are in that plan, working of God, working God's plan, that sometimes the enemy begins to see that, and he may look at that situation and say, uh-oh, they're getting close to accomplishing what the God wants them to, what their God wants them to do, and I'm going to cause disruption. I'm going to be indignant to them. I'm going to mock them. I'm going to send people to tell them that you're crazy. I'm going to, whatever I can, as the enemy unleashes anything and everything that he has in his arsenal, he may have an arsenal, but my God's arsenal is bigger. Anything that the enemy has, my God has better. Amen? If the devil's got a 22, my God's got like an M60 machine gun or something. I don't know. You know, he's got a rocket launcher. Whatever the case is, it ain't going to be a fair fight because God is going to overpower with just one. When we call him, he comes. Oh, Father, thank you. But when we go through our situations and our things in life, it might seem impossible. It might begin to see the development of it. And then, haven't we always seen that, where it just seems like things are beginning to develop and something happens? The rug's pulled out. Something happens. Now we're back here. And I don't understand why, but I just know that when we see the victory, so does the enemy. And when the enemy sees the victory, that ticks him off. And he starts lashing out with all the things that he can to try to dissuade you, hurt you, change your thoughts about God, or whatever the case is, so that he can destroy you. The enemy comes to see who he can, seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He's looking for that for churches. He's looking at that for homes. He's looking at that for ministries. He's looking at that for us individually. What can he steal, kill, or destroy in me personally? And I've got to be on my guard. I've got to be on that sentry of, okay, Lord, by that of the Holy Spirit, keep me aware, keep me alert to these things. But when I read scriptures, when I read stories, when I read accounts of things like the men, many men and women even, throughout that of the Bible, like that of Nehemiah, they took on the challenge and they went forward. And they succeeded. And the enemy did not prevail. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I've got a different outlook now when I clap. Lord, that's a trumpet going off, man. It's just alerting you. It's calling you down. It's singing, rejoicing and praising you. Whatever the case might be. It might be, Lord, when we come into a battle, we're praying and maybe we're clapping and joy. Lord, it's not the joy. Lord, it's we're clapping to have you come into this battle. We're calling upon you, Father God, and I know that you will come and you will battle for us. We have to turn it over to you. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, what has been shared through this of Nehemiah chapter 4 and the other chapters, Lord, and whatever else comes out of this book, Lord God, it ministers into each and every one of our lives right where we're at in our today, right in our today, Father God. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. And I glorify in it, Lord. Thank you. I love you, Lord. Amen. Amen.